Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
And if you have hope, you have expectation. If you are hopeless, you are void of expectation. And expectation, although it is the breeding ground of miracles, expectation is really why you rolled out of bed today, because you didn't hope for the same old, same old. If you've had a tough year, you rolled out of bed hoping this is the day that everything turns. This is the day that everything changes. Maybe you had a bad decade, but you woke up saying, I could have ended it all, but God has me on this rock called earth for a reason. And I believe that God today, I believe today's the day I get it right. I believe today's the day I get delivered. I believe today's the day I get healed. If you're breathing, God is not done with you yet. Everybody just exhale real quick. You felt somebody's warm breath on the back of your head. That means God is not done with you. God is not done with them. And you might want to turn around and offer them a breath, man. But it still means, hey, they're kicking. They're living. There's more land to possess. Praise God. There's more mountains to possess. Let's not just get that greedy preaching. Let's talk about there's more purpose to do. There's more souls to save. There's more orphanages to build. There's more wells to dig. There's more addicts to deliver. There's more sick that need to be healed. There's those that have lost that need to be recovered. There's prodigals that we need to be focused on building the Father's house. So when they show back up, that's what hope is. Even the person who is the most down on their luck, living under a bridge downtown in maybe the worst state that they've ever been, they will walk up to a car with a sign, or they will shake an empty cup. What is that? That is hope and expectation. But we as the church have to be like the apostles in the New Testament. And when they shake the cup, if God tells you to put something in it, you can. But what you should really be concentrated is silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I will freely give to you. Can I remind you that God has brought us from a very long way? Can I remind you that some of us were the sickest of the sick? We were addicts. We were strung out. We were religious. We were lost. But look at what the Lord has done. And so I don't want to keep it to myself. I want to become a hope healer. I want to begin to deal hope to my family, to my friends, to my community, and tell them. How many of you are on social media? Just raise your hand. Let me tell you something. If you're on Facebook, you're over 40. If you're on Instagram, you're over 30. If you're on Snapchat, you're under 25, unless you're weird and a little creepy. Oh, now those of you that Snapchat, y'all got mad. Get glad just like you got mad, like that. And then there's TikTok. TikTok's the Wild West, y'all. TikTok is wild. I went live on TikTok yesterday. The first 20 minutes was like a good church service, sharing scripture, praying for people. The last 40 minutes, I had the atheist in there. I had the church hurt in there. I had the deconstructing people in there. And they were attacking me. They were attacking Jesus. They were attacking my beliefs. They were telling me it was a fairy tale. They were telling me all of that. And I just kept smiling and laughing it off and hitting them with the word of God. Why? Because really, if they're trolling on a social media app in the middle of the day on a Saturday, they are looking. And most of them have said, I've read the Bible and I still don't get it. I read the fairy tales and I still don't get it. But my job yesterday was to encourage them with my testimony. You say, what verses did you quote? Didn't quote a lot of verses to the atheists, because if they don't believe in God, they really don't believe in his word. But what I kept telling them is you can't talk me out of an experience I've had. I know God is real because I know who I used to be and who I am today. I know prayer works because when I pray, I hear God talk back. I am here to tell you, I'm going to deliver hope, whether it's a Sunday at Living Way, a Saturday on social, HEB, parking lot, Valero at the gas pump. We've got to understand that we have been given this gift of Jesus, not to hoard it to ourselves, not to save it for ourselves, but to literally become a hope dealer. A hope dealer. What if I told you that the devil wasn't after your money or your health, but he's after your hope? Because he knows if I can take their hope, I can take everything. If I can take their hope, I can end their marriage. If I can mess with their hope, I can touch their kids. The devil knows if he can steal your hope, he can steal your future. In my 40 plus years, until last year, no one had ever said to me, get your hopes up. People had always cautioned me, don't get your hopes up. I would tell them something preposterous, and maybe you share the same testimony. You would talk about the promise of God as it relates to you and your family. You would talk about what God has said he's going to do. You would talk about the promises in the word of God concerning the church and believers, and people would tell you things like, God doesn't work miracles anymore. God doesn't heal anymore. The gift of the Spirit is not for today. Those are church phrases. Those are church people that are saying, now don't get your hopes up. If I can't have hope, then why would we come to church on a Sunday morning? Hope is what fills me with worship, saying, God, what you have done is amazing, but I am so glad to be a part of the end time plan that, Lord, we get to show this world what a real hope is. My dad called me a little over a year ago, and he asked me the same question that he always asks when he calls, whether it's once or five times in a day. He said, what are you doing? And before I could even get the next phrase out of my mouth, he said, get your hopes up. Now, we weren't in a place where I was hopeless, but it was the first time that I remember anyone ever saying, get your hopes up. Something changed, and that became the mantra of my family. That became the mantra of our offices before 2022 happened. And then we began to declare it in 2022 and stand on the promises, get your hopes up. But our declaration after the foundation of hope has been laid has turned from get to keep. Keep your hopes up. Getting is sometimes difficult, but keeping is much more difficult. Getting married is easy. Staying married is tough. Too many people plan a wedding, but they don't plan a marriage. Too many people plan Valentine's night with their loved one, but they don't talk about the 18 years of raising the kid that is going to be conceived on that night. We will do anything we have to do to get a job, but then we start coasting and we lose that job. And the reason that is because keeping takes maintenance, and not just once a week, once a month, once a year. Keeping your hope takes daily maintenance. I am your hope dealer as a pastor, but I am not your source. I don't know much about the drug world, but I've run around with people who have been delivered from it to know enough about the dealer is not the supplier. The dealer is the middleman. The difference between the drug world and kingdom is that the dealer never wants you to know who the supplier is. The supplier never wants to let you know who he or she is. They want to be kept in secret. But I am here to tell you, I am your hope dealer. But I am not here to hide the source, and the source does not want to be remain hidden. The source is Jesus Christ. And the good news for you is Jesus is available Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm telling you, God runs a great, great company, because Jesus says, if you can't get to me, I'll bring it to you wherever you are. If you can't get out of the bed, I will be there with fresh mercy. If you make your bed in hell, I'll be there with you. Like David said, oh, you're in a valley? I'll bring hope to your valley. I'll bring hope to your valley. It is a daily maintenance, keeping your hope. When I was a teenager, I hope most of you can remember this. If you're a teenager now, get ready. I thought buying my first truck was the hardest part. I wasn't thinking about filling up the gas tank every few days. I wasn't thinking about oil changes every 3,000 miles. I wasn't thinking about keeping the tires properly aligned, inflated, and rotated. I wasn't thinking about the dirty air filter, coolant, and windshield wiper fluid. And just so we can all be on the same page, there is no such thing as blinker fluid. You live in Texas, y'all. We got to smarten up. Keep seeing these videos of people sending their kids or their spouses in to AutoZone asking for wiper fluid. Don't make them look silly. I wasn't thinking about registration and inspection. Buying the truck was easy, church. But maintaining the truck was so much more difficult. Get your hopes up. That's easy. Because I can literally go from depressed to hopeful if I hear a good sermon preached. If I hear my favorite two worship songs, I can go from I don't think God's going to show up to God is going to be there and win every battle. I can go from nothing to something just like that. Getting your hopes is the foundation, but let's talk about the maintenance of keeping your hopes up. Today is January 8th. Tuesday is January 10th. Tuesday is the day that 90% of New Year's resolutions will have already been broken. I have a friend who is very, very into fitness and weightlifting. We do not share that in common. We share other things in common. But I asked him, I said, is the gym crowded? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't go the first 2 weeks. He said, I work out at home. He said, because I got to wait for all the wannabes to get out of the gym. He said, because the first 2 weeks, every machine has a line to be used. You got people that you can tell by the way they work out, they ain't never worked out. You got people in there, and you've seen those videos using machines like they're not supposed to be used. He said, I wait for the first 2 weeks so all the wannabes get out. And he said, after 2 weeks, he said, when I go back, it's the regulars again. See, there's some people, this will be your last Sunday till Easter. Somebody watching today, we ain't seen you since your little kid was up here in the nativity scene, which means you came for them, you didn't come for Jesus. You were like the shepherds. You came to look at Jesus as a baby, and then you're like, hey, I'll see you later. You didn't bring a gift. You didn't do none of that. I'm here to tell somebody today, you keeping your hopes up doesn't work Sunday to Sunday or Easter to Christmas or Christmas to Mother's Day. It is going to take daily time with God. It is going to take a devotion that is not just tearing off a calendar verse, but literally digging in and saying, God, this is the attack that's coming across me right now. This is what I'm facing right now. But God, my hope that I talk about on Sunday is going to hold because my hope is in you. You can tell just by last year, almost every Sunday without fail, while I was reading my initial remarks or getting ready to read the key text for the Sunday or Wednesday, I would say, turn to your neighbor and say, get your hopes up. And January, man, it was loud. February, it was a little less. March, a little less. April, you could get the feeling, man, we still on that? Oh, we're still on it. I'm still on it. I'm still full of hope. I'm still full of faith. I'm still expecting God to do what he said he would do. By July or August, you're like, are we really going to ride this wave the entire year? Not the entire year. Just because the year's over, I'm getting my hopes up, but now I'm going to keep my hopes up. And 10 years from now, in 2033, that sounds weird, I'm still going to be talking about you got your hopes up, you've kept your hopes up, and I promise you, if you keep your hopes up for a decade, the devil won't know what to do with you, your family, your anointing, your calling. This is not a Sunday hope. It's a living hope. His name is Jesus. Man, this is just the opening remarks. 6 minutes left. 2 years ago, Manny and I toured NASA Space Center in Houston. And everywhere we saw displayed around the facility, failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. Church, failure is not an option when it comes to 2023. Failure is not an option when it comes to your health. Failure is not an option when it comes to your family. Failure is not an option when it comes to the gospel being preached. Failure is not an option. See, we love to shout about it on Sunday, but when cancer shows up, failure is not an option. You either fight and stand in hope and faith, or you die like so many others do. Failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. It's not something I saw displayed at Bucky's. It wasn't on a mug next to Beaver Nuggets. I saw it at the NASA Space Center, where they took a few men, put them in a rocket ship, and took them to the moon. When they say failure is not an option, they said if we don't get it right, people are going to die. I am here to tell you, and this is not an exaggeration or hyperbole, we must get it right in 2023. There are crackheads that need Jesus. There are Muslims that need Jesus. There is the LGBTQ plus that need Jesus. Failure is not an option. Drag shows in libraries. Failure is not an option. He, him, they, them, her. Failure is not an option. Your kid identifies as a cat. Failure is not an option. You're on your fourth marriage. Failure is not an option. Declare to God, your enemy and your family, failure is not an option. In 2023, I will do, we will do whatever it takes to make sure that we embrace and hold on to our hope, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus would say about himself in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I used to say, I'm sorry. I do not apologize to Oprah Winfrey, but there are not many ways to get to heaven. I do not apologize to Tom Cruise. Scientology will not get you to heaven. There is one door. There is one way. There is one truth. There is one life, and it is Jesus Christ. To keep your hopes up, Jesus must be your only option. I hope she's not watching today. If you're watching, be convicted. I'm not condemning you. But a friend of mine on Facebook loves to make a big deal about going to church on Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. And before service, I was scrolling through Facebook, and she said, finally, it's time for a me day. She's talking about shopping and pedicures and that's the problem, is the world right now is having me time. The problem with me time, church, I hope somebody's recording this part. The problem with me time, church, is I know me, and I'm horrible. I'm talking about me outside the umbrella of the anointing, outside of the umbrella of grace. The problem with me is I know what I'm capable of all by myself. I forgot what comedian said, I can do bad all by myself. Oh, I can do worse than bad all by myself. I can sin. I can send myself straight to hell all by myself. I don't need me time. I need he time. He time is what's going to change me. The problem is we're in here. Amen, Pastor, you're right. The problem is still some of us are addicted to he time for 90 minutes a week. And then it's me time by 1:30 this afternoon. It's me time on Monday. No. It's he time all the time. See, the problem with me time is when you make it all about your comfort, when you make it all about your selfish desires and ambitions, that's fine until you need a real breakthrough. And then you find out that me cannot do what he can do. See, that's when you find Jesus. When you get to the end of me and you're still empty. When you get to the end of me and you're still lost. When you get to the end of me and you're still sick, you find out I cannot do it by myself. That's what Paul was really saying when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is he in me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it is he in me. I heard someone say, Jesus is my plan A. Oh. However, Jesus is not my plan A. Listen to what I'm going to say, church. Because if Jesus is my plan A, that would mean that there is a plan B. If there is a plan B, you are conceding that plan A might not work. I'm preaching now. Jesus is not my plan A. Because if I say there's a plan A, that means there's a plan B. And if I say that there's a plan B, I've already made the concession and conceded the fact that plan A might not work. But I have come to deliver some good news to somebody today. For 2,000 plus years, our God Jesus is undefeated. If he said it, he will do it. If he shows up, he's going to work it out. I am here to tell you, he is not my plan A. He's my only plan. To keep your hopes up, he's my only option. He's my only plan. If this doesn't work, if it doesn't work, you say, well, what are you going to do if it doesn't work? I don't know. Let me just tell you this. Let's cross that imaginary bridge if we ever get to it. But we'll never get to it. That's why it's imaginary, because he is not going to start his loss record on Brandon, on you, on Living Way in 2023. To keep your hopes up, Jesus has to be your only plan. He has to be your only plan. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Got halfway through this. I'm going to finish it on Wednesday. I'm going to entice you to come back on Wednesday. You're working on Wednesday. Put it on your phone or online. Because we're going to go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Jesus has an incredibly tough conversation with his followers and disciples. The Bible says a lot of his disciples left him, turned their back and left. I'm not going to get into that. That'll be Wednesday night. But I do want to tell you this. The greatest disciples that had ever walked still had moments of hopelessness. Peter, as great as he would become, literally denies Jesus, cusses everybody out, runs back to his past, his fishing boat, and when Jesus finds him, he's fishing naked. You talk about losing hope. He's lost his mind. He's lost so much hope. But then there's also Judas. Judas had hope at some point. Because he left all to follow Jesus. It's like when Jesus came to his disciples and he was calling them, Peter, get your hopes up. Simon, get your hopes up. Andrew, get your hopes up. Judas, get your hopes up. Their hope surged in that moment because they left everything to follow Jesus. But when it got tough, when the slogan was played out, maybe Jesus woke him up every morning and said, hey, follow me. Let's keep going. The first follow me was exciting. Get your hopes up. Keep your hopes up. The second week of follow me, okay, cool. Yeah, we're still following. Let's go. The second year of following, are we still on this thing? When are you building this kingdom you've been talking about? And in Jesus' mind, Jesus thinking, I am building the kingdom. It's just not the kingdom you think I'm building. Sometimes we lose hope because we can't see what God is really doing. Judas lost hope. And I've always preached, as one of the first sermons I ever preached was Judas and Peter were very similar. They both denied Jesus. At one point they were hopeful. At a moment in the presence of Jesus, they were hopeless. They both denied and walked away. But one said, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm going back to Jesus. He regained his hope. His hope soared. And just a few months from then, he would say, I perceive that God is no respecter of people in the house of Cornelius, opening the door to the Gentiles to receive salvation. And 3,000 people got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost because the one person who was hopeless found his hope. But this time he kept his hope. But the second man, his story doesn't end well. We don't get a Disney ending with Judas.
Judas sold out Jesus for a few pieces of silver, and then he threw the silver back at the men who gave it to him when he found out Jesus was priceless. He was hopeless. But instead of going back to Jesus so that he could be hopeful, he went to a tree and hung himself. Remember, if you're breathing today, God's not through with you. Judas was one conversation with Jesus. You remember Peter's conversation? Do you love me? Yes, I do. Feed my sheep. Judas could have come back to Jesus. I'm sorry. Hey, Judas, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. But Judas never came back. Hope was never restored. I want to give you the benefit today that you might be like Simon, like Peter, like Judas. Hope might have surged in January and February of last year, but maybe it plummeted in July. Maybe you're still facing things in January. That's tough. I want to encourage you, but I want to tell you today, hope is not dead and neither are you. I want you to get your hopes up, but we're going to do everything in Living Way to keep your hopes up. This mother carrying her son that just turned 1 year old this weekend. She has a testimony, comes from an incredible faith family. These two ladies have broken the ice. I want to open the altar for anyone and everyone in this room. If you're watching online, make an altar where you are. You can pray while you're driving the car. You can pray in your living room. But as the altar fills up, you're saying, God, I want my hope back. God, I'm ready for more hope. God, restore my hope today, God. God, I'm ready, God, to get it, but this time I won't lose it. This time I won't lose it. Times that I've denied your power, times that I've denied your timeline, times that I've denied your schedule. God, no more of that. Like Simon Peter, I love you. God, you've restored hope. I know I cussed them out, but you restored hope. I know I denied, but you restored hope. I know I went back to my past, but God, you restored hope. Talking to some people that ran back, you made great strides the last year, the last month. You made great strides 2 or 3 years ago, but you find yourself running back to what you were, to what God delivered you from. I am here to tell you, Simon made the same mistake, but Simon came all the way back to Jesus. And in reality, Jesus came all the way to where Simon was. Said, do you love me? If you're in this altar, it proves your love for Jesus. If you're praying online, it proves your love for Jesus. If you're in this room on a Sunday, I'm pretty confident that you love Jesus. But here it comes. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Get to work. Delivering hope, delivering faith, delivering love. I'm going to ask our prayer team to go ahead and start laying hands and praying. I'm going to ask our altar team to go ahead and start interceding and praying. As we begin to lay hands, as we begin to minister, as we begin to impart, it's nothing in us, but it is God through us. With the laying on of hands, it's a New Testament principle. There is something from heaven that is coming down right now. Lord, and these teenagers in this altar, families, these women of God, men of God, mothers and daughters holding hands, mothers and sons standing next to each other, best friends standing next to each other, mothers, wives standing in the gap for marriage, for family, new faces, old faces, leaders, new believers. If you're in this house today, I want to encourage you, Jesus is the hope of glory. It's the only hope that we can embrace. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. If you believe and confess, Romans chapter 10 says, it is literally the gift of salvation. And when you believe and confess Christ, he becomes your Savior. Hell is no longer your destination. Heaven is your goal. Heaven is in your future. If you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. If you've said yes and it's been a long time and you didn't walk out that yes and you're ready to rededicate, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, one of our newer families stopped me and said, hey, how can we be baptized? And I told him, right after this service, come on down. And her son's going to be baptized here in just a few moments. If you'd like to be baptized in water, this is your moment. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment. If you want to be healed, this is your moment. If you've got a 10-year addiction, this is your moment.